right, welcome everyone to our Sunday night service. So good to see everybody. Hope everybody had a good afternoon. And we're not having choir practice, gave you a little more time, those in the choir. And I tell you what, let's all grab a church hymn. And let's all stand to our feet before we get into the service tonight. Page 235, He Set Me Free. 235, He Set Me Free. I love him, so we can leave him.
All right, on the second.
Ready?
Yep.
It's always a good time for practice on Sunday nights, and but anyway, good to be here once again. Had a good service this morning, as we always have good services because the Lord is here. But enjoyed this morning service, and looking forward to a special. Brother David's going to sing for us in just a moment, and then wrapping up this two-part message on family functions. And so, we praise the Lord for those who are here, and of course, a lot of people are traveling right now, and children's home's not here, but we thank God for those who are here, and just pray for those who are not here. But let's continue to remember Tandy Barrett, and his upcoming gallbladder surgery as soon as he's cleared from everything. And of course, continue to remember Miss Mary Kelly, as she continues to get better, and the Palmers and all the others we have on the prayer list. Just grab a bulletin and stay up to tune, up to beat on those, all those needs. And again, our church yard sale is going to be on Saturday, October 21st, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And again, all the profits will go for the funding of the painting project in the hallway. So we're looking forward to having a good time there of outreach, cookout, and all the rest of it. And so looking forward to that. Has anybody got any special prayer requests tonight? Any kind of praise reports they want to make mention of? Brother Harold? Okay. Wednesday, okay? Yeah. Remember, Brother Harold said he has an appointment on Wednesday, so praying for you on that. Anybody else? Brother Chuck.
Hey, brother, last Wednesday, I was on the phone with him, talking to him all while I was working, and it was weird. I got home, and she's here eating dinner, and he had a major heart attack. He's 9 years younger than me, and thank God for Pastor Justin and CJ, because I was freaking out, and but God is good. He went into surgery and recovery. They put a stent in, and he tried going back to work with an assistant.
Amen.
Got some kind of weird ticker on her heart monitor, or whatever you call it, whatever she had to put in.
Yeah.
And got it checked out. It seems like they made an adjustment, and that's going pretty well, too. So, praise God. Again,
amen.
The church, the prayers,
yes.
And CeCe and his family, because I was freaking out. I don't mean it now. I mean, CeCe, poor lady, was upstairs, and because I was in the hospital. I couldn't keep myself contained, and I felt like I couldn't breathe, and I couldn't get out of Kenistone fast enough. It's like rat meat. So I was kind of panicking, and he taught me off the ledge. So, again, thank you all so very much. He's recovering.
God bless you, brother. We love you, Miss CeCe. So thankful for this praise report, your brother and all. And anybody else? Okay. Let's remember this request. All right, Brother Don, if you want to come on down, and we'll mention these requests in prayer and the offering as well. Bless the offering. And Brother David has a song for us again. I asked him to sing this. Asked him this morning to sing this tonight. Love this song. And then we'll finish up the message. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for these precious people, Lord, that have congregated themselves together. Lord, they could have done other things. They could have stayed at home, but they wanted to come to your house to be around your people and to feast from your word. And so, God, I pray you'll do that, that you'll bless them. Just bless them real good tonight for being here. Give them encouragement and give us all a challenge as well. Father, we pray for all of these who are sick, who are in the hospital, who needs surgery, who's recovering from surgery. We just lift up all these requests to you. And we just ask that you'll meet us again in a special way tonight. Bless this offering. Let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church, but also on foreign fields. We love you tonight, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
others around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts, and they thought they would die. But they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. And he spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed his will. And he calmed their storms just like he will mine. If I just remember that he lives deep inside, so why should I worry? Why should I fear when this very same Jesus, he stays always near? He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible how he walked with them, brought light in their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine, and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death seems so nigh, call on the Master, he'll be there on time.
Amen.
When sickness comes and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name.
Amen. Yes.
So why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, he stays always near? He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by.
Amen.
Why should I worry? Why should I fear when this very same Jesus, he stays always near? He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry.
Amen.
I'll just call on his name till the storm passes by.
Amen. Is always there, loving us unconditionally. Thank the Lord for the Lord's unconditional love. Mark chapter number 3 for a few moments tonight. Mark 3 verse 25. Mark 3 verse number 25. As you're turning there, last time we had Sunday night service, we started talking about family functions. That was the Sunday night before last Sunday being homecoming. And we showed the video of the family scrounging around and trying to get to church, and all kinds of crazy things happening. And it just pictured what families are really like. We put on our best and come to church, and we see each other. But behind the scenes, we struggle, don't we, to try to make things happen. And so the idea was, for families to function, we have to understand our roles for them to function. And we talked about last week the role of the parents. And the role of the parents has to do with two things. It is to protect our children and provide for our children. We mentioned, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Kings 1, verse 5 and 6, we see that David never interfered with his son Adonijah and his decisions. He never, the Bible says that he never, ever, in so many words, interfered with him in his decision-making. David didn't protect him from making bad choices. And so the idea there is that we've got to start early. Start early in our children's lives, challenging their decisions, helping and protecting them. And I understand that, you know, you here tonight, if you have kids, they're grown probably, and they have kids. While studying this message, I was hoping the children's home would be here and other teenagers, but my teenager's here. She hears it all the time at home, so she's going to hear it again tonight. But nonetheless, we all can glean some things. And so we got to start early. Got to start early. We ought to protect our children from the internet, making sure they're not trapped in the net. Dangerous apps and social media platforms, certain video games that contradict our values. We mentioned Grand Theft Auto last week. And before I got saved, I used to play that. Not that a saved person can't play it, that's happening. But I used to play that game back before I got saved. But now that game has where you can assault women and do things like that. And so, you know, what that's doing is it is indoctrinating our children through video games. It's okay for domestic violence. It's okay for all of that. We've got to guard our children, protect our children from that. Music that negatively transforms the mind, whether we realize it or not, what we hear goes to the heart and it can transform us. It can have us thinking differently. Here recently, the Target in Hiram, they totally renovated their store. Before, they didn't have music for the shoppers. Now they have music, and while I really didn't realize that, they say they added the music because it helps the shoppers shop, you see. And I will say, going through Target now and music playing, I think I put a few more things in the buggy. You see, listening to things gets down into our hearts. And so when it comes to music, we have to be conscientious of that, especially if we have kids. Toxic relationships that brainwash, that's good medicine for all of us, no matter how old you are or young you are. We've got to guard relationships and enter into the right ones. And so we mentioned that. On the other Sunday night, we ought to protect our children. Then we said we ought to provide for our children. Our children need to know that they're provided for. Our children should not have to worry about eating supper at night. Should not have to worry about eating breakfast in the morning or lunch in the afternoon. And we said the other day, the other Sunday, that during school, the school year, many children, that's how they get their meal, is at lunchtime. And then during the summertime, they don't get to eat as much. But children shouldn't have to worry about that, about food and clothing. We ought to provide that for our children. We ought to provide love and encouragement. And fathers, if fathers don't bond with their children, or fathers don't bond with their daughters, other males will. And so we've got to remember those things as well. We ought to provide a spiritual heritage. Don't let the circle be broken. Keep the circle together. Continue to love Jesus in every generation. I was thinking today as I was reviewing this that growing up, never went to church. We never blessed our meal. God wasn't mentioned in my house with mom and dad and my brother. But of course, later on, got saved. And now this is the only life that Lily knows. Is church and God and striving to do good and treat others as you like to be treated and all the rest of it. This is the only thing life that Lily knows, and I praise the Lord for that. But when Lily gets older and has a family, it's her responsibility to teach her children and to share the importance of being saved and getting saved and going to church. Don't let the circle be broken. And so we ought to provide that spiritual heritage. Provide biblical teaching and instruction. Provide an example. And I'm just running through these. We're about to finish up the other tonight. Our kids will do more of what we do, more so than what we say. And so that tells me that there doesn't need to be any discrepancies in our parenting. Although parents aren't perfect, we ought to strive to match our walk with our talk. Provide discipline, undergirded in love. Speak to the heart. That's what Jesus did. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love? Jesus didn't get no whip. Said, Peter, bend over for a second, boy. Pow! Pow! He spoke to the heart. And while physical discipline, you get an immediate response, I think the older they get, you speak to the heart, it's more of a lasting response. And so that's what we spoke on the other Sunday night, family functions and concerning the role of the parents. Now, tonight, I want to talk about grandparents, aunts, uncles, siblings, and the church. I know that's a lot, but we're going to be able to get all this done in about 10 or 15 minutes. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, and siblings, what does the Bible have to say about them and also the church? Of course, the church plays a role in a family functioning correctly. So there's biblical principles that support this. Also, some of my life experience I include. There's only one point I want to cover tonight, and this one point is for all of those roles, the grandparents, aunts, uncles, siblings, and church. And the number one point is this. When it comes to family functions, there ought to be support for the family. Support. Mark chapter number 3, verse 25, notice what the Bible says. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. He's talking about a divided house. He says if there's division in the house, it's going to be unstable. And I believe we all can say amen to that. Nobody has a perfect home. Speaking of the people in the home and everybody's different roles. And there's always things in the home place that happen, rough patches you go through. But ultimately, through all of that, we have to stand united in our own personal homes. We all have to be unified. There ought to be support in the homes. A lot of families are falling apart tonight because there's no unity or support. Now, what about grandparents? I said this includes all these roles, but we're just going to say grandparents and mention some things about grandparents, but keep in mind this is also aunts and uncles. Then we're going to mention individually siblings and the church. Grandparents shouldn't plot with grandchildren. So some of this may apply to some of you tonight. So let's all just hang in there. Grandparents shouldn't plot with grandchildren. If mom and dad says no, grandparents should say no. Grandparents shouldn't tell grandchildren that their parents are wrong in their decisions. Aunts and uncles shouldn't plot with the children. Shouldn't say your mom and dad was wrong in a decision they've made. Now listen, I'm going to go ahead and say this, but everything I mentioned tonight, you're going to think of 101 different scenarios. We're trying to keep this plain and simple, and you can apply it and fill in the blanks. But grandparents shouldn't plot with grandchildren. If mom and dad says no, grandparents just say no. Shouldn't tell grandchildren parents are wrong in their decisions. This will cause disunity in a home. Grandparents should discuss concerns privately with parents. If you're a grandparent and you have something that's going on with the grandchildren, then that ought to be something that the grandparents go to the parents about privately. Listen to this. Parents ought to listen to parents. So grandparents go to the parents and they say that, you know, you're allowing this to happen. This is bothering me. Let's talk about this. And the parents that are hearing this ought to listen to their parents. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head or the gray head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Grandparents have wisdom that can help. And so us parents ought to listen to our parents that give these kind of instructions. So we see that there ought to be support in a home, talking about family functions. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Now what about siblings? Siblings. That was grandparents, aunts, uncles. What about siblings? Well, siblings need to realize that they have influence over their brother or their sister. They need to realize that. There ought to be no cover-ups with siblings. Meaning, don't cover up for your sibling's failure, because that can lead to further failure. Don't cover up for each other's failures or deliberate acts of rebellion. This can lead, again, to further failure and setbacks and heartaches. But tell the parent about the situation. No cover-ups when it comes to siblings. Siblings should be an example to one another. I know at least two men in the Bible that failed as a sibling. Cain failed and Jacob failed. Cain failed in this area the very harshest of ways, for he killed his brother Abel. And then Jacob failed as a sibling. Esau was hunting in the field. Jacob was in the house cooking some stew. And Esau came in and he was hungry. And Jacob was stirring that pot. And Esau said, "Brother, I'm hungry. I'm at the point of death. I've been out there hunting all day. I've been in the woods all day. Please give me some." Jacob said, "Oh, I'll give you some, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your birthright. I want your birthright because I want to be connected to all the blessings." And so Jacob failed here. What is that? Extortion? Something along those lines? You give me the birthright and I'll give you the meal. Jacob was a failure as a brother. Cain was a failure as a brother. So as siblings live together and grow up together, they need to be examples to one another. Examples, good examples. No cover-ups. Allowing each other to thrive and flourish. And then the last one, we're going to get through sooner than I thought. Not only siblings and grandparents, aunts, uncles, but what about the church? How does the church play a role in family functions? Well, I believe that the church ought to support the family. The church ought to support parents. I will say that children should be getting at home what they're getting at church, but that's not always the case. Some children don't get at home what they do at church. Therefore, the church should help guide the parents. A lot of the times, parents expect the church to raise their kids. Amen. A lot of the times, Christian schools expect, or these parents expect Christian schools to raise their kids. And that's another amen. These kind of things happen. Parents aren't parenting. They're expecting a church or a Christian school to raise their kids. And it just leads to further failure. It leads to upset. It leads to problems. I can't tell you the problems where, and I know this, being Lily being in Christian school since she's been going to school, K-3. We have seen a trend down through the years that a lot of families that can't do anything with their kids, they've been to alternative school and everything else, they put them in private Christian school and say, please help raise my kids. They don't say that, but in essence, that's what they're doing. And they don't last long because they're either bullying others, they're either getting into so much trouble, they just get expelled and they're not allowed back. It's not the Christian school's job to raise kids. It's not the church's job to raise kids. It is the parents' job to raise children. It's the church's job to reinforce the parenting and the school's job to reinforce the parenting. So, but the reality is this is a problem. Now, what else are we to do within the church? Support the parents, but also we're to teach the things of God to the family. Number one, the Word of God, but then the older women have a role in the church. The aged women have a role. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Listen to this in verse number 3. Titus 2, verse 3 and 4. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so the older women in the church have a role in the family home, and that is to teach the younger women how to do these things that we just mentioned. And this is a mentorship. I'm you do this. I see you do it, ladies. I see you talking to the younger women here and there, and asking how you're doing, how things going, and let that continue. Let that continue, because our younger women, not only teenagers, but young mothers, young wives also need your good godly influence, and so this is something that needs to continue, a mentorship from the local church. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Not only older women teach younger women, but older men teach younger men. 1 Timothy 5 in verse number 1. Listen to this. Of course, this is Paul writing to Timothy concerning the ministry of the church. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. You say, how do you get older men training younger men here? Well, The idea is, again, Paul writing to Timothy, instructing him how to deal with the older, but also how to deal with the younger. He says, don't rebuke an elder of the church. Don't rebuke the aged of the church. But if there's something going on you need to talk to this person about, you entreat them, approach them as you would your own father. And how is that to be done? With respect and honor. And so, Timothy, you're not to blow off the handle and shake your fist at the deacons. You're not to blow off the handle and shake your fist at church members that are older than you, these men that you may have something at odds with. You go to them respectfully and honestly and tenderly, and you talk to them about it. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And then he says, and the younger men as brethren. I like what he says here, younger men as brethren. Timothy, being a pastor, a young preacher, Paul's saying, don't use that as leverage. You know, don't be militant in your leadership. You treat the young men as brothers. They're your brothers in the Lord. Don't be militant and say, hey, boy, no. Hey, you, out of here. You know, you too, go. Don't do that. He says, you have your position. You're over God's flock. But he says, at the same time, you need to condescend to men of low estate. You're to treat them as brothers. And the elder men, you are to approach them as they're your father. Be humble. And so this is also a mentorship. So the takeaway here, the idea is that older men in general, ought to train younger men. And we see that in that statement in verse number 1. And the younger men as brethren. All right, so teach the things of God to the family. The word of God, and then the older women teach younger women. Older men teach or train younger men. But then I want to leave us with this tonight, that parents should make church a priority. And my message to younger families that are out there is a lot of younger families that are falling out of church. And younger families ought to be careful not to send mixed signals to their children. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Make sure your homework's done on time. You want to go visit your boyfriend. Oh, you want to go visit your girlfriend. You want to go to the movies. And you want to do all those things. All right, we'll plan it in the calendar, the schedule in the calendar. Oh, you want to hang out with your friends. That's good. That's fine. We got a ball game, and it's going to be on a Wednesday or Sunday. And if those parents are not careful, we can send mixed signals to our children by allowing all these other things but church. We'll just skip a service or two. And what we're doing is we're sending messages to our children, and when they get older and they can be out on their own, they'll think, well, mom and dad chose all this over church, so must not be that important, so I don't think I'll go. The circle will be broken if we're not careful. And so parents should make church a priority. Rest ought not, we all got to rest, but rest should not be more priority than church, and entertainment should not. All the rest of these things should not. Just got to be careful about mixed signals. And so the church tonight has a role in family functions. Siblings tonight have, of course, a role in family functions. And grandparents, aunts, and uncles all have a role in family functions. Again, this was just a two-part message. Too long to preach in one sitting from the other Sunday night and then and tonight. So we just wanted to mention that. That was what was on our heart for the past couple of Sunday nights. And Lord willing, we'll head another direction on the Sunday night after next. Not really sure if we told everybody or not, but we're going to be going out of town again. We were presented with an opportunity. We never go anywhere twice in 1 year, but this time we are, and so we're going to be going on Saturday through Saturday. We'll be here Wednesday night, but got Brother Allen covering for next Sunday morning and CJ, Brother CJ for next Sunday night. And so after that, we'll get back into a series on Sunday nights and possibly Sunday mornings as well. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for, again, the people of God. We thank you, Lord, for the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for this position to preach and pastor. Do not take it lightly nor for granted. Thank you, Lord, for my good deacons that I have here that help. Thank you, Lord, for what I like to call trustees, Lord, those who always help to make ends meet around here. Thank you, Lord, for them. Just thank you, Lord, for each other. Help us today just to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, and help us tell someone about you. And Father, we just love you and thank you tonight. We pray that for every person on this prayer list that you will meet every single need. We know you will in your own time. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.